Hey guys, thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to our previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in the App Store for your iPhone or Android device. Or you can join us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Kind of get into our message today. We've been in a series called Breaking Free, and it's been a series about helping you walk in freedom that God wants you to walk in. And we've been singing about it, as I mentioned earlier. We've been preaching about it. We've been praying about it. Like every week, this has been the theme to start this year. And I really felt strongly as we came into this year that God wanted us to lay the foundation and to experience the freedom that he wants us to experience. That some of us have been walking around in bondage for a number of years, and we've been missing out on what God wants us to experience because of the fact that we've been in a place of bondage. And today, kind of kick it off by reading our theme scripture for this series, which comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish," and everybody say it together, that one word, "strongholds." That's what we've been talking about. Every week we've been talking about being able to break free of a stronghold, and a stronghold is something that holds you captive. And it says next, "that we demolish arguments and every pretension." Pretension is a lie, something that's not true. "That sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And today I actually want to key in on those few words there that Paul says, every thought. Every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. And so today I want to preach from the thought of overcoming mental strongholds. Overcoming mental strongholds. Strongholds. And the reason I think this is so appropriate is because some of us have been in bondage in our life, not because of like what's in our life, but we've been in bondage because of what's in our minds. Like it's been what's been consuming our mind and our attention that's led to us being in a place of bondage. And this topic is really, as I get this nice little table situated, it's really one of the more complex issues. The reason why is because when it comes to mental strongholds, they oftentimes can manifest themselves beyond just the psychological state. They can have even greater impacts on our lives. They can begin to lead to anxiety and other serious issues that affect our health. That the mental strongholds that we may be encountering or be in bondage to, like it has this capacity to be able to incapacitate us. And for some of you guys, like you came in here today, not with a physical ailment, but with a mental one, with a mental stronghold because of lies. So earlier in that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about how we demolish strongholds. And then he says, we not only demolish them, we demolish arguments and every pretension, every lie. And we talked about a few weeks ago when we kicked off this series, how at the core of every bondage, there is a lie. It's a lie. Like lies lead to bondage, but truth leads to freedom. This is why Jesus says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And the antithesis of that is, "And if you believe the lie, it will lead to bondage." And I wonder how many of us have been missing out on God's best simply because of what's going on in here, simply because of what's going on in our mind. Here's what Soren Kierkegaard says, well-known author. He says, "Our life always expresses the result of our dominant thoughts." It always expresses the result of our dominant thoughts. One author said this, "I think, therefore I am." That everything starts in your mind. That if you don't win the battle in your mind, then you won't win any other battles in your life. And as we think about this aspect of mental stronghold, there's some lies that I think we believe when it comes to our thoughts and our mentality. Because as we're talking about mental strongholds, we're ultimately talking about our thoughts and what we think about. So here's a few lies, and I kind of wrote them down. They're on the screen, and if you want to follow along, we got our sermon notes in our app. You can download that from the app store. But here's lie number one. There's many lies, but I think these are some critical ones. Here's lie number one. My thoughts are not influenced by anything. I think that's a big lie that we believe, that nobody influences the way I think. That's not true. All of us are influenced in some capacity by something or someone. Our thoughts are always influenced by something. The question is, what's doing the influencing? How do I know this to be true? Because when you look back at Genesis, especially in Genesis chapter 3, you have Adam and Eve, and they're walking in perfect harmony with God, and then out of nowhere, that slithering serpent called Satan comes, and he raises a question. He says, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in a garden? He plants a thought, a lie. And now begins the rabbit hole of deception and then leading to brokenness. It all started with a lie, right? You know how you have friends in your life, like you would be committed to not doing something, but then there'll be people closest to you. They'll start to kind of start chirping, I think you should do this, and I think you should do that. And you'll end up kind of being swayed by what they think. All of us are impacted by something. We're influenced by something. Some of us are influenced by what we see on the news, by CNN and Fox News and MSNBC. Like, all you do is watch the news. And so it shapes how you look at things. It shapes how you view people. All of us in our minds, we're influenced by something. Then we also think, here's another lie that I think we believe, that my thoughts are just thoughts. That they're just thoughts. It's just something I thought about. It doesn't have any bearing on me. No. I want you to know something today. Your thoughts are not just thoughts. Your thoughts actually lead to other things. And if you don't believe me, here's what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 27 through 28. You have heard it was said, do not commit adultery. He's talking about adultery to his listeners in Matthew chapter 5, this Sermon on the Mount. And people were oftentimes concerned about adultery just being a physical thing. And Jesus actually takes it a step further. And he says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. He says, but I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Goes back to your thoughts, which you perceive. Everyone who looks upon this person lustfully, you've already committed adultery. Your thoughts are not just thoughts. Not one bit. The enemy would convince you that your thoughts are just thoughts. No. They are not just thoughts. They are more than that. One writer says this. He says, watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Your thoughts aren't just, like, your thoughts are really the genesis of everything that you do. It starts in the mind. But here's another lie that we believe. My thoughts, and this is probably the biggest one, don't need to be changed. There's nothing wrong with my thinking. I'm good. I get it right all the time, right? But here's what Romans 12 and 2 would say. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, why would Paul write that if our minds didn't need to constantly be changed? Every day, our minds need to be renewed by the power of Christ. It shows us that our thinking is faulty. Like, there's plenty of times where I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were thinking one thing and then it happened and then you step back and you're like, man, I was totally off on what I thought. Like, some of us have had the wrong thoughts of people. You thought a person was a certain way, then you actually got to know them and you're like, oh man, you're not as bad as I thought. Some of you are like, no, they were worse than what I thought. Either way, your thought needs to be changed. But if we believe the lie that our thoughts don't need to be changed, then we find ourselves in bondage. And so the question now becomes, if this is the case and if everything starts in my mind, then how can I get free of the mental strongholds that exist in my life? Because I don't know if you knew this or not, but your thoughts, they shape everything that you do. And so if you're thinking constantly negative, your life will reflect that. If your thought process is toxic, your life will be toxic. If you don't have the good thought process about your marriage will reflect that. If your thoughts are not where they should be, your life will look like that. Right? And some of us, man, we need to pray prayers and ask God, God, would you deliver me from my thoughts that do not line up with your thoughts? Amen. This is why he says that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, he's saying, level up. That wasn't something Sierra just made up. It was something that Jesus made up. Level up. You need to get your thoughts right. Because the stronghold and the bondage that you're experiencing in your life, it's not because of things around you. It's because of what's in you. It's because of what's happening in here. So how do we overcome this? How do we get free of the strongholds that we find ourselves in? Let me say it like this plainly. It all goes back to your mindset. Or let me say it like this. It all goes back to what you set your mind on. And so some of us have set our minds on the wrong things. And so now as a consequence, it has led to a place of bondage. We have set our minds on the fact that I will always struggle. So now as a consequence, that's what I'm living. You should not be surprised that your life reflects what you think. Because in your mind, that's where it all starts. In your mind is where it starts what you believe about God. In your mind is what you believe about your spouse and your children and your coworkers and your community and your neighbors and about people that you don't necessarily get along with and people who may vote differently. It all starts here. And it impacts everything in your life. Everything. But God says, I want you to experience freedom in your mind. In the words of the great philosopher from The Matrix, Morpheus, played by Lawrence Fishburne. I want to free your mind. God wants our minds to be free. And I love that because he doesn't just want us to be physically free and financially free, as we talked about. He doesn't want us just to be free of our addictions, but he wants us to be free in our minds. Because honestly, that's where most of it all starts. The addiction started with the mind. Me believing that that bottle is what's going to satisfy me. And believing that that blunt is what's going to really bring me joy. And believing that if I have sex with so many different people, it will bring me fulfillment. It started in your mind and believing a lie. But God says, let's fix it today. I don't know about you guys, but I wanted to be fixed. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Amen. Like, he says, let's fix it today. So what do we need to set our mind on? In other words, let's reset our minds. That's what I want to do for you today. I want you to reset your mind. And what I mean by that is resetting it in terms of setting it on where it should be. And so here's the first thing that I want us to set our mind on. Set our mind on the right person. On the right person. Now that sounds crazy. Why would you say right person? Because oftentimes our minds are fixated either on us or on others. And us and others ultimately can't bring us the fulfillment and this joy and the satisfaction that we're looking for and that we long for. And what I mean by the right person is that we set them on where and on who it should be on, and our minds should be shaped and influenced by one, and his name is Jesus. That's where our minds should be. Some of us are like, man, that's as deep as you got today? Absolutely. Check where your mind is. Is it on Jesus? Here's what the scripture says in our theme verse back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want us to look at verse 5. Notice what he says. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, watch what he says, every thought, and we make it obedient to you, your mama, your husband, your kids. Lord help you if you do. No. To Christ. We make it obedient to Christ. Here's what Paul is saying. Set your minds on Jesus. Set your minds on Jesus. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, it says like this. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Do you see it? That they are to be fixed on God. Verse 4, he says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Not only set your mind on him, because he is the one who will always stay the same. And that's good news. Because you can set your mind and your thoughts on CNN, and one day you'll be up and the next day you'll be down. You can set your mind on your stock and on your money and on your resources, and one day you'll be up and the next day you'll be down. But the one who does not change, God himself, Jesus himself, we set our mind on the one who is always consistent, yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's what we set our mind. And here's what Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38, when people ask him, what's the greatest commandment? Notice what he says. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? Jesus says to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love God with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. In other words, I'm saying this, my thoughts should be shaped by God himself. That being free starts with me shaping my thoughts around God, who he is and what he has done for me. That I shape my thoughts around the fact that God is my father, that he will provide for me. I shape my thoughts around Jesus the Christ, the eternal Son of God, that he went to the cross and shed his blood for my sins, past, present, and future, that his grace is always sufficient, that it doesn't matter what you did, that you could become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I set my life and my mind on him. I set my mind on the Holy Spirit of God, who is living on the inside of me through faith in Christ, making me more like Jesus, comforting me when I'm going through difficult moments, giving me wisdom to make the right decisions when I don't know what decisions to make. I set my mind on the right person. That's what it's about. That 21 days of prayer, that's what it's all about for us. It's really been about helping you set your mind on Jesus. To get your mind out of all these other places and out of all these other persons and to get them on where it should be the most, which is on Jesus. Here's the question I would ask us to ask ourselves. Who do you think most about throughout the course of your day? Because if you find yourself constantly thinking about you and me, it will always kind of be not fulfilling. But I've changed my thought process, and whenever I feel myself being more so focused on me or even those around me and more so focusing on Jesus, it brings forth an immediate trajectory change. It's like my soul begins to be lifted. It's like my mind is now at peace. Oh, but it makes sense. You will keep his mind in perfect peace. Who stayed on you? Some of you guys have been praying for peace, and Jesus is like, you got your mind in the gutter. It's not on me. And it's not just something that I just have in my heart. Like, I know the scripture, but are you applying it? Put your mind on Jesus. Let me say it like this, that whoever shapes my thoughts shapes my life. And so if you let Jesus shape your thought, watch him shape your life. Well, Pastor, what is he going to do for me? I'm glad you asked. John 10 and 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have an everlasting and satisfying life. That's what he will do. When you keep your mind stayed on him, he brings forth the satisfaction that you are looking and longing for. When he gets your mind on the right person, that's how you begin to experience freedom from mental strongholds. But then next I want to talk about, it's not just about setting your mind on the right person. It starts there. But then that now should lead to us setting our mind on the right things. On the right things. And I use that word things on purpose. And here's why. Here's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says. Set your minds on things above. You see it? Things above. Not on earthly things. He says, but on things above. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And the reason why this is so important, and I need you to get this right now. It's because we live in a society that is very conscious about what we put in our bodies. Right? We see it all the time. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm eating everything all natural. I'm only eating if it grows out the ground. Anything that eats something, I'm not eating it. Cool, whatever. We place a lot of emphasis. Like the saying goes, you are what you eat. And that is so true. But let me take it a step further. You are what you think. How is it that we place in our society so much emphasis on what goes in our bodies, but we don't care what goes into our minds? Amen. Junk in, junk out. If you're not thinking about godly things and eternal things, your life will look like it. And it's so crazy that I feel like the enemy is like convincing us of, like, is lying to us and trying to get us to focus on things that really aren't as significant. Like, it's important for us to focus on what goes in our body, and we should have a healthy diet. But I believe the enemy is like, hey, just focus on that and everything else will be good. Not realizing that God wants us to love him with all of our mind. So let me ask us this question. Like, we're conscious about what we eat. Are we conscious about what we watch? What we listen to? Who you listen to, right? Like, are we conscious about all the things that we're watching on TV, no social media, right? Seriously, you're probably not gonna like me for this one. Just got this downloaded from the Spirit. When you're seeing things like on social media and there's profanity and there's nudity, do you not realize that you are digesting that into your mind? And some of us believe the lie, like, oh, I'm good. It's not affecting me. Not now, it's not. But continue to have a steady diet of digesting that. And eventually, it will show up in your life. So what I'm asking us to do is to think on the right things. That we will guard what comes into our mind. That we will guard what we watch on Netflix. That we will guard what we watch on YouTube. Oh, you're not going to like this one. That we guard what our radio stations produce, that we listen to. That I don't just listen to Jesus music on Sunday when I come to church. This is holy hour, so I got to get my mind right when I go in. Let me help you understand something. All of life is holy, not just Sundays from 9:30 to 10:45. And what you're digesting, eventually it reflects in your life. And so I want to get us to a place now where we're conscious about the things that we digest. What are the things that Paul talks about? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer. See that word? By prayer. That's why we're in the season of praying, fasting. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul says, the things that we should think about. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, notice what he says next, think about such things. Think about them. Think about them. Everything on Game of Thrones is not pure. I know I'm messing with some idols right now. I know. Just cut our attendance down in half next week. I know. Everything on your Spotify playlist and Apple Music is not pure and true. It's not lovely. It's not praiseworthy. The things that I'm digesting in my mind, eventually it shows up. I remember like years ago, I didn't think like my music was affecting me. And I was constantly like listening to my music. I was like, oh, I can compartmentalize stuff. And I was listening to music, you know, I had a lot of profanity and all this type of stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm good. You know, I'm not going to say a cuss word. And I remember one time, in a random moment, I think I was playing basketball. And in those moments, that's when like pressure really takes place and the real you gets revealed. And the thing that I thought I had a grip on and control over actually came out. And I remember feeling so convicted because I was like, man, why did this come about? Like, how did I just say that? Oh, because I've been what I've been watching and what I've been listening to. Do you not realize that the enemy caused you and I to compromise, not with big actions, but with small thoughts? Little thoughts, right? Parents, can I encourage you? Like, you need to guard what you let your kids watch and listen to. Seriously? Like, seriously. I'm 33 years old. I got kids. And my son called back something that he saw in class 2 years ago that I didn't even know about until 2 days ago, which lets me know that the things that we expose ourselves to and that we digest, just because it does not manifest itself immediately does not mean it's not there. And if I'm constantly digesting things that are not wholesome, eventually it'll be revealed. You are what you eat, and you are what you think. And so Paul says, think on these things. And I like this, how earlier he says, don't be anxious for anything. It's interesting how he connects anxiety with thoughts. It's interesting how he connects, really, he's talking also about depression with thoughts. Because there is a link there, and that some of the anxiety that we all sometimes feel and that happens in our lives is a result of what's happening in our minds. And that sometimes as a result of the mental battles that we face, that it can lead to anxiety and it can lead to depression, which is a very, very real issue. And you can find yourself kind of being in a place that now it's like, I tried everything and I still battle with this in some capacity. And that is real, and anxiety is real, and depression is real. And one of the things that I wanted to do with today's message for kind of the last few moments is I didn't just want to give you spiritual principles, but I also wanted to kind of show you how the spiritual and often the practical, they intersect. Because oftentimes we can just kind of focus so much on the spiritual and the spiritual truths, which we should, it should all start there. But we can also dismiss some of the practical things that God has employed and wants us to engage in, so that way we can experience the freedom that he wants us to experience. And so I got a friend that I want to actually have kind of come up and help me close out this message. And she and I, we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about this. She's actually the director of care for our church. So could you guys welcome Dr. Marlena Webster to the stage? Amen. Amen. Marlena, she's not going to say this, so I'm going to say it for her. This girl is smart. This woman of God is highly accomplished. She has a PhD in this area. So, good to see you, Marlena. Yeah. Oh, we need a microphone. Yeah, that'll be good. Let me get one for you. Battlefield of the mind. There we go. But I wanted to have Marlena, Dr. Marlena, I might say. She earned that. We call her doctor. So when y'all see her around, you don't say Marlena, Dr. Webster. Dr. Webster. But I wanted to have Marlena, Dr. Marlena, come and kind of help us to apply these spiritual principles in a natural sense. Because, like, this is her background. Like, she is a clinical psychologist. This is what she does for a living. This is also why she's the director of care for our church. Because, like, God has given her great wisdom and just amazing ability. So welcome, Marlena, and glad to have you. So I want to ask you, like, kind of why do you believe God called you to be on this journey that you're on right now to really help people in this area?
So when I started undergrad, I went in for pre-med biology and always knew I'm going to be a pediatrician. And then I shadowed a pediatrician and saw that there was a lack in the way that she was able to meet the physical need because she didn't have someone to bridge that gap for the mental piece. Also having folks in my family very close to me who struggled with mental health concerns all throughout their lives and continue to. And so it just pulled my heart to want to be able to address that. And I felt like it was something that came naturally. So, you know, we talk about the giftings that we have, and the gift of help is one that is given. And so I think that that's something that I've been blessed to be able to have. And so I feel like I shouldn't waste that by doing random stuff and should follow what God's called me to. But I tried to run away from it because I wanted to pursue prestige and money or what I thought I was supposed to do rather than what God was calling me to.
Wow. Wow. That's good. So it's like you may make a living on your job, but you find life through your calling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good. That's good. So as the doctor, in your opinion, just from your experience and what you've seen, what's one of the biggest lies of the enemy, like when it comes to mental health and just really overcoming those mental strongholds?
Yeah, so I'm a little old school, I have a little notebook. I think oftentimes we can, you hit on it perfectly as far as the thoughts. So our thoughts really lay the foundation for what it is that we do. So when we think about, we have what we call the cognitive triad. So it's our thoughts, our feelings, and then at the top is our behavior. Mm. So what it is that we think and what we feel emotionally is what drives what it is that we do.
That's good.
And so oftentimes we can be told this lie that, well, I'm alone, or I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm the only person that's dealing with this. And so that can pull us into this place of isolation and trying to deal with it just on our own. And that's not even where we deal with it on our own with prayer, but it's we just try to deal with it on our own and not even go to God. Other lies can be that we think that, well, just because I'm maybe that I feel like I need to speak with a professional, that means that I no longer trust God. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So that is a part of you walking out your faith, is knowing that God has placed abilities in his people. So we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Come on.
And so if you know that you're going to someone who is walking in that, then you can also recognize that that is a part of you trusting God and believing that, okay, I can be able to have help in getting my healing, in addition to continuing to talk to you directly.
Yeah, that's good.
And then, yeah, just thinking that you are the only person that's going through this. So this is why our connect groups are so important. So because you have a community of people who can share with you their real experiences, we can often get into this place of, oh, this is just me. I'm the only person that's doing this. I'm so weird for feeling this way or for thinking this way. But when you talk to someone else about it, it can be, oh, okay, well, this is, you know, some of this is normal. Some of this is perhaps not typical, but it's also typical to get some further assistance or just to, you know, be able to hang out with someone that you know can be trusting and to listen to what it is that's happening for you.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So I don't know if you guys heard the plug of Connect Groups that she mentioned. So I say, right. So I really highly encourage you guys to jump in one. So you talked about, obviously you did a lot with people who especially are going through depression and sometimes anxiety. Like, why do you think that there is this stigma that we can't open up about it and be transparent about it in different settings, sometimes even in the church? You know, it kind of is like the elephant in the room.
Yeah, so I think that the stigma comes from all sorts of places. So culturally, it can be where, whether it's you're a man, I'm supposed to be strong enough to handle this on my own. Or even as something that we see often with African-American women in particular is that, well, I've always had to be the strong one. I always have to take on things. And so how dare I think that it's okay for me to talk to someone else about it or to use something to help me to feel better. I think within the church, we can, I think mistakenly at times, neglect that, again, God has gifted people to be able to work out what it is that he wants to see done for us. And so we can tell ourselves that, oh, you know, if I continue to only pray. So prayer without works is not going to get you what you need. And
that's
so
good.
Is that we need to be able to work with what it is that is happening for us and that we're praying for and not allowing our prayer life to be passive, but to also be active in it.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of spills over into when I think about the population of folks that I work with most often, are, you know, veterans are told to, you know, be strong. You're here for combat. You know, you're equipped with these weapons to be able to protect yourself. And we have a mission, and that mission does not involve your emotional state. It doesn't involve, you know, the trauma that you're experiencing. It doesn't involve, you know, what's happening at home while you're, you know, serving actively. It doesn't involve what happens when you get out and then you don't have a job or you don't have things, you know, set up in line for you to be able to live in the way that you want. And so that can also create another bubble for folks to think that, well, yeah, I'm not supposed to feel this way. I don't have the time to feel this way. And so of course, there's going to be stigma around me trying to pursue some assistance with that. So it can be sort of layered with the way that stigma develops for the different populations of people that we have within the body of Christ.
So, yeah, that's good. So we know anxiety and depression are real. And I think those are some words that we don't always like to, I think, kind of address, especially sometimes in a spiritual context, because we, you know, we'll hear scriptures like, don't be anxious for anything, but to cast your cares on him because he cares for you, which is true. But I think sometimes we kind of forget, like you said, that in us casting our cares on him and in us placing our mind on Jesus, that he's oftentimes speaking to us and may kind of lead us to go to other, like you just said, gifted people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like God has not just gifted people just to preach and pastor. But he's gifted people like Marlena with the gift of helps who have wisdom in this area to be able to not just give like those practical instructions, but the spiritual as well. And so like what practical things like would you give, like combined with spiritual habits, would you just encourage people to employ that may be struggling mentally, struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression or or whatever it may be? Like, what would you just kind of suggest?
So it was funny that you had Philippians 4:6. That was like my guiding scripture for most of my graduate career and just throughout life, because we can definitely get anxious and forget about going to God first in prayer and in thanksgiving. But then also moving on to verses 7 and 8, where we do need to be mindful of what we're telling ourselves. So focusing on the truth and allowing ourselves to be filled with the truth. So as Pastor Edwin said, you know, what we put in is what's going to come out. And so if I'm filling myself with, oh, you know, well, this person, you know, just got a house on Facebook, or, you know, this person just got a new job, or, you know, this person isn't struggling to have kids, well, then I'm telling myself that there's something wrong with me because I don't have what these other folks have. But if I focus on what God says about me the scripture, then that can be a way to help me to be reminded of the goodness that God has and that he has instilled in us as his people. And just to be reminded of who he has created us to be, because we can get caught up in this, these pieces of, well, this is what the world says I should be. This is what, you know, my family said I should be, or, you know, what my friends say I should be. But no, what is God saying about you? And going back to focus on God is who created you. And he doesn't make mistakes. He's not, you know, making you all willy-nilly. He took thought into how he made you. And so, like, we used to, Corey and I in our home, like, especially when I was going through with trying to finish school, putting scriptures up around the house, especially around the mirror, to think about, to have that as a reminder to meditate on the promises of God. You know, just to, as I'm looking at myself, knowing that this is what he's saying about me, and not just what I'm telling myself. Also remembering that our bodies are temples. So you talked about earlier that, you know, we're very mindful of, you know, especially in this time of praying and fasting, we can be mindful of, oh, you know, I'm going to only eat certain things. But knowing that it's not just that we want our bodies to be healthy in that sense of what it is we're taking in, but knowing that what we eat physically also impacts our mental health. So if we eat too much sugar, if we eat too much salt, that can throw off the balance within our brain. So serotonin is the chemical in our brain that can regulate our mood and also our experience of pain, and so chronic pain. And so if we're having things that are going to throw that off balance, is going to make our mood more challenging. And so just being mindful of what it is that you're taking in physically, but then also emotionally. And so thinking about, too, that we want to try to focus on the present, and choosing one scripture to meditate on can be a nice way to help us to focus on the present, because we think too much about the past that can contribute to further depression, and we think too much about what's yet to come that can further lead to additional anxiety. And so, but when we pull our focus on what's here and now, and what is God saying right now, because we know that the word of God is living and it's happening right now. It's not just something of the past. It's not, oh, you know, that's what, you know, Moses and Paul. No, this is what God is telling us right now. And so we need to focus on the present, because this is all that we can handle, is what's right here in front of us. And we still can't handle that alone. So recognizing that God has a place in all of that. And, you know, he gives us the word to be able to have to get us through all sorts of times in our lives. And recognizing that, you know, we're told to meditate on the word, and meditation, a part of that is, a meaning of it is eating and chewing on it. So continuing to study the word, allow ourselves to kind of dive into it, and to keep that rolling around in our minds as much as possible.
That's good. I like that, because Pastor Craig Rochelle, he says that what comes into your mind comes out in your life. And so kind of what we were talking about earlier, that we're so conscious about what goes in our bodies, which we should be, but, you know, how are we examining what we think and how we view things? So kind of like what you said, like, if I'm constantly in this position where I'm thinking like I'm worthless, that I was an accident, or that God doesn't love me, then that's going to affect my whole countenance. Like, it's going to affect everything. But if I begin to like rehearse the scriptures over my life, like, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and remind myself that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And the more I digest that, like you said, like, it begins to change the trajectory, you know, of my life. And so just as in closing, as you kind of just through your experience, when would you like encourage somebody who's battling and dealing with depression and anxiety to just seek that professional help which is good, by the way. And we can direct you to some good, like Christian wholesome practices that will give you not just the spiritual, but also the practical. Because as Marlena said, Dr. Marlena said, God has gifted people. And so like part of us trusting God is trusting the gifts that he's given people to be able to administer his grace to our lives. So when would you suggest for that person who's dealing with that to take that next step?
So when you start noticing, so if you're noticing that the sad or depressed thoughts or sense of hopelessness are persisting longer than 2 weeks, that's a clear signal that you want to speak with someone. If you're finding yourself crying uncontrollably or without clear trigger, that would be an indication of, okay, I want to be able to speak with someone. Yeah. If you're having a lot of anxious thoughts and racing thoughts, and it's really difficult to slow those thoughts down, even when you try to focus in meditation and the thoughts continue to come back and back, and you start to experience physical pieces. So stress, we think about stress as, I'm stressed when, exhausted. But it's also, our body has given us different signals. So when your blood pressure is high, that can be a signal that you're stressed. When your sugar levels are high, so diabetics have to also be mindful of not stressing themselves out too much. And stress is when you don't have enough resources to meet the demand that you have. So that could be where, you have a new child in the house. There's not enough, mental capacity.
It's not enough hours in a day.
Yes, not
like, enough resources, not enough space.
Absolutely. It's not just the money that it takes to have another child. Right. It's like, you need to have that mental space to be able to handle because these little people need a lot. But they bring a lot of joy.
Amen.
And even, things like, where you're missing, job loss, or you're not working to your fullest capacity, that is an indication of stress. Yeah. If you're not keeping care of your hygiene, so I was reading a blog post from a young lady I know who was talking about what she was starting to see for herself with postpartum, and was kind of ignoring it and saying, just trying to put on that happy spiritual face that, oh yeah, I'm okay, everything's good, and let's focus on the positive pieces, but not allowing people into that space where she was really struggling. And one thing that she noticed is that, I just wasn't, taking care of my hygiene. I would just let myself go. And of course, in the first few weeks of having children, it's really difficult to, push ourselves to make that time, but you typically will remind yourself to do it. But when you notice that that is falling off, or even if it's not in relation to having a child, but you're noting that, I'm not going to get my hair cut like I used to, or I'm not going to, work out in the way that I used to, or just doing the things that you used to enjoy. So if you find yourself in a space where, I really loved running, but for some reason I have absolutely no motivation to do it anymore, that is an indication that we need to get some additional support. Because what we know is that, there are events that come in our lives that can be stressful. So the government shutdown absolutely was stressful for the folks who are impacted by it. Yeah. And that's the source of the stress. But when it seems like your mood changes without trigger, where you become more anxious or more depressed and the circumstances in your life seem like they're okay, that's another indication that, okay, there may be something going on that is beyond just my environmental pieces, because, again, our brain has a huge part in what's happening for us. And so if you're noticing that these triggers are happening just with, these things are happening with no trigger, that's the time where you really want to seek someone. And finally, if you're in a space where you're feeling very hopeless and you are trying to redirect your attention to reminding yourself that Jesus is the hope of the world, and you continue to feel like there's nothing left for you to live for, and you're thinking about harming yourself, please absolutely speak to your primary care physician, a close friend, call the crisis line, which is 1-800-273-8255. You can text the crisis line. There are all sorts of ways where you can be able to get some help. If you don't have insurance, you can go to a community services board, which will be able to provide you support as well. So, being mindful of what's happening for you, because we can just go through life and just let things happen.
Yeah.
And not notice that, I've had a huge shift in my life. And, think about when you leave church sometimes, you probably get home and have no idea how you got there. You don't remember what turns you made. You're just there. Mm. And we can live life that way all the time. That's good. And that's how things can kind of slip through the cracks. And we miss what it is that God is trying to give us as warning signs that we need to come closer to him.
Yeah.
So just keep those in mind.
Yeah. Awesome. And just for us to know, like Marlena just kind of shared the that phone number, but we also wanted you to reach out to us. So like, we got an email that we want you, like, write it down. You can send us something right now, care@thebridgechurchva.com. Marlena, as I mentioned, she leads our care team, so she really kind of oversees making sure that you get the resources that you need in whatever capacity that is to be able to help meet your emotional needs, spiritual needs, even financial needs. And so the biggest thing is, like, we don't want any person going through life alone, especially when it comes to, like, the mental aspect of things, the mental strongholds that we kind of may be finding ourselves up against that really kind of begin to kind of manifest themselves, whether it's through anxiety, whether it's through depression. Some of us may have had some suicidal thoughts, and I even hope and just believe, like, if you came here today in that space, that this literally was a word from God and a time from God to speak directly to you, to let you know that God is for you, and that there is hope, even though you may have came in here hopeless, that tomorrow and today, like, are promises of God, that you can begin to experience the freedom that God has.